This is Ron Moss Ministries. I want you all to lift me up in prayer. I just traveled about 7-8 hours. My father is at the hospital in Virginia Beach, Virginia. He's possibly got to have emergency surgery. And so I've actually just gotten to the hospital parking lot right now and kind of wanted to kind of talk about him for a minute and talk about lifting him up in prayer. And because he is my father, and he's an African-American male. And I think so often we don't give us, our brothers, their just due. And so, unfortunately, there is an image which is seen by others as one of crime, thug behavior, things that don't really identify who you and me really are. My father is a 30-year retired Navy veteran, retired E-9 Master Chief. Was he perfect? No. But he's my father. And as I go in here and pray with him and be with him, you know, and pray that God's will be done, you know, I'm still feeling the pain of our brother Floyd. I'm feeling the pain of our brother in Atlanta. I'm feeling the pain of many of our brothers who have lost their lives for no reason at all. I thought about this because there was a story that I read today about a young African-American male who is a family man, love his wife, has two kids, never been in trouble in his life, decided because his wife needed some gas, decided to go out in the evening, nighttime, to get fill up her gas tank, and so she wouldn't have to worry about gas the rest of the week. He gets to the gas pump and notice that there's an elderly white woman across from him looking at him in somewhat of a fearful way. She gets in her vehicle, goes across the street. Minutes later, a team of police officers pull up, ask him what is he doing there, why is he out so late. He's somewhat confused, but is explaining what he's doing. And one of the famous words that unfortunately I believe police officers sometimes use to their advantage is that you fit a description. He tried to explain again that he had just left his house just to come get some gas. Apparently that wasn't going to fly. They were in the process of getting ready to cuff him, I would imagine, and take him to jail. And a white patron who happened to be outside intervened and said he did not come from the direction that you're talking about. He came from a different direction. And that was the only way that this young African-American male with no criminal record, never been in trouble, family man that go to church, was able not to go to jail. So there's a reason why so many are marching. There's a reason why so many are angry. There's a reason why so many are emotional. There's a reason why a lot is going on. And I celebrate throughout all cities, all states, all counties who are marching and coming together and honoring not just Mr. Floyd, but also honoring many of our young African-American males who have lost their lives for really no reason at all. For no reason at all. But what I think is important is that we begin to understand that we have to look at ways to figure out a way to come together. Because I think that the reality is that bad people are not going away. They're not. They're going to exist till the end of time. And I want you to hear that. Bad people will be here as long as good people are here. But the good news is that good will always outweigh the bad. Let me say that again. Good will always outweigh the bad. But, and there's a but you have to begin to take a responsibility for your own hood. You got to start to take a responsibility for your own environment. You got to begin to take a responsibility for your own geographical location. What are you saying? I'm saying that you have to get involved. You've sat on the sidelines for years and haven't done anything but criticize, make excuses. You don't have time. I got my own problems. But believe it or not, your problems are my problems, and my problems are your problems. My happiness is your happiness, and your happiness is my happiness. Your pain is my pain, and my pain is your pain. We all are interwoven together, whether we want to understand it or not. We are intertwined. We are brothers and sisters, whether we don't acknowledge it or not. Just because you're not my blood brother, you're still my brother. Period. And I don't care if you're white, black, red, yellow, or brown, you're still my brother. And so we've got to get off the sidelines and we got to get in the game. Now, in this particular game, you got to get really involved. You've got to go to your local and city police departments and say, hey, what are you guys doing to weed out your bad people? What policies, what procedures are you doing to make sure you don't have cops on your payroll who want to do harm to other people? What are you doing in your county and in your city to make sure you don't have cops on your payroll that hate people of color? Because you have, if you do, you have a recipe of danger on your horizon, because here's a person with a badge and a gun and power. And unfortunately, some people take that badge and gun and power and use it for all the wrong reasons. As I've said many times before, there are bad people everywhere. So we have to start with a conversation with our local and our city police departments. And we got to find out, what are you doing? If police can't police themselves, then we have to get other higher authority to police them. They need to have an overhaul of looking at their applications, going through their applications, looking at behavior patterns. If you have a rogue cop, look at each cop case by case and see their arrest records, see their pattern of behavior, see how many times that officer has had a complaint against them. It shouldn't cost people lives for you then to get rid of a bad officer. Mr. Floyd wouldn't be dead right now if someone would have looked in his file and saw that this cop had some underlying issues that always existed and should have been off the force a long time ago. And I believe if we look back at many of some of these cases, we will find out that some of these bad cops should have never, ever been given a badge or a gun or power. We have to come together as local citizens and be more involved in our community. And whether you have convinced yourself that people won't listen to you, you have to at least make the effort for them to try. And it's all about how you present your presentation. We live in a day and age where you just can't come and talk to somebody just because you think you got a good point. You got to create relationships with folk first. You got to create some lasting relationships where you build your own credibility. Once you can build some credibility with some people, then you can talk to some people. if I went into a neighborhood, if I loaded up right now, went to Atlanta, went into a particular neighborhood, and tried to talk to some folk, they would run me out of their neighborhood because they don't know me. I have not created any dialogue. I have not created any type of lasting relationships with them. And so we need to start that conversation now. And we need more vocal leaders. We need people who are not afraid to lead in the right way, who are not afraid to express their opinions in the right way. And then we need to talk about a subject that a lot of people are still afraid to talk about. We got to talk about race. And how can it be that a white woman could get on the phone and threaten an African-American male and say, "I can have you arrested if you don't leave me alone"? Because she understands the type of world that she lives in. She's seen enough news coverage and enough TV coverage and heard enough to understand that there's a target right now on a black man's front and back. That all I got to do is express myself in a certain way and I can have this individual arrested. So we've got to have some dialogue with some white folks too. We got to sit down. If you say you have some white brothers, then you need to sit down with your white brothers, your white brothers, and you all need to have some conversation about how your white brothers can reach out to some of his white brothers as I reach out to some of my black brothers. And we continue a dialogue on how we can come together in a peaceful way, but in a way where we can make change. I'm all about peace. I don't see how one can do bad and then good change come. I want people to come together, not just to come together, but be able to come together and do something. That's important to me. And so if you're ready, I mean, from what I saw on TV last night in Atlanta and today in Greenville, in New York, in Minnesota, and I'm sure in other places that I didn't get a chance to witness by watching TV, if you all can come together and march and have a peaceful march or rally behind not just the death of Mr. Floyd, but other people who have lost their lives, then you're in the game now. The question is, are you going to stay in the game? Because to stay in the game, you got to work more than four quarters. This game, you got to play for a lifetime. You can't just make a decision that you're not going to get involved. You have to stay involved. Because I'm going to tell you this, because your children, your daughter, that baby daughter of yours, that baby son of yours, those grandkids that you love to pick up and hug and play with, their life is going to depend on you getting in the game. Their lives are going to depend on you getting involved in your community and staying involved until they become adults. And then they watch mama and they watch daddy, they watch grandmama and granddaddy and aunts and uncles be involved. And that's going to make them get involved. And then we have this revolution of families getting involved, doing positive things, doing things that will help effect positive change in our communities. And I believe once we start to understand that, and once we begin to do that, then we'll see some change. Keep rallying, keep protesting. But you got to get in the game. You got to get in the game and you got to be prepared to play the game more than just four quarters. You got to play this game for life. Think about all those young men and how they lost their lives. It didn't have to be that way. And here we are in 2020 in May. And we're still going through some things. And we got to get to a place where it's got to be more than just rallying. It's got to be more than just marching. We got to get involved. And the last thing I want to leave you with is that we got to teach each other. I want you to understand this. This is the most important piece of this. We got to teach each other why voting matters. That should be a rallying cry right now, that voting matters. We got to get the right people in office who are going to support what we believe and who we are. So part of being in the game and part of participating in the game, you got to use some of your power because you got power too. And you got to vote. Voting matters. And so you got to get involved. Your vote has to count. We can get the leadership that don't look at us as that look at us as second class citizens. We can get rid of those folk and put folk in office who will support our agendas to make positive change. But you have to vote. You have to get involved from that perspective, too. Because guess what? Government is not going anywhere either. Government will be here, too, till the end of time. So since government isn't going away, then that means we got to get more involved in government and make government work for us. Make the political process work for us. And the only way you can do that, you got to vote and get involved. My hope and my prayer is that you'll talk to your community. Talk to your family. Talk to your friends. Ask them, are they ready to get in the game of life? If they're ready, if they're committed to get into the game of life, people like me and there's other people that will help show you how, not just play this game, but we'll show you how to win this game. God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. Oh, yeah. Peace.